Blog Talk Radio.
Wonderful and wonderful Wednesday. Indeed, it is. It is the 30th of March, 2016, and you've tuned into Straight Talk, brought to you over the airwaves, the byways, and the highways of the blogtalkradionetwork.com. You've got your host with the most from coast to coast, the only one, the number one, the Esquire, Abby A. Phelps, known as your Mota City Maharani, your voice of reason, your voice of advocacy, your voice that gets to the point, unbiased, unbought, and unbossed. And truly, we have enjoyed all segments of this special that we've been going forward, launching an effort to educate you and empower you, the listening public, concerning the going and growing epidemic or epidemiology of bullying. And we, on the first day of our show, we gave you the Scientology aspect. We broke down the very character, the very anomaly of the aggressor, a.k.a. known as the bully. Then we also gave you the whole synopsis of the character associated with the bully, what the bully's intentions are, and what types of methods of operations they use to get the job done. Then on yesterday, we identified for you the specific and general types of bullying. Many of you even stated that you never even thought about it, more or less even heard of it. But see, people who really get in depth to deal with issues that are persistent and pertinent don't mind doing the extra work or going the extra mile of the way. And it broadens the span and the horizons of the whole behavior of bullying and how bullying has affected our society, how it's affected individuals who have been victimized, who've been scrutinized by these vagrant aggressors who look to get something at the expense of others. We also went into depth with some examples of bullying and every type. We talked about verbal bullying. Then we talked about psychological bullying. We talked about financial bullying. That's right. We even went as far as to talk about cyberbullying. And really and truly, we even talked about the instances in which individuals have been impacted by this behavior. And we talked about the two levels of physical bullying, which we said non-direct or indirect bullying physically and direct bullying physically, when we actually saw individuals taking the next step and actually physically harming the victim or the individual whom they held at bay. So it broad spans a great horizon. It gives us the ability to think above the rim and to look at these behaviors and really ask ourselves, have I been a victim, and or currently am I being victimized, or have I had the shoe on the other foot and been the outright aggressor? And it causes us to take personal inventory of our character, of our behavior, of our demeanor, of our relationship with others, so that we don't fall into the precarity certainly of being a bully or the aggressor, and more so, even greater concern, that we don't become a victim. Well, to those of you who can wave the flag, the white flag of peace and ubiquity, and can say, you know what, all through my life, and skillful assessment will cause you to do that, taking self-personal inventory, you can say, I've never been guilty of being a bully. Wave that white flag in the air. Wave it because you know you care and that you have been well in control of your emotions and of your behavior. That's right. And just give yourself a nice pat on the back. But to those who have taken a skillful assessment and observed some of the examples that were presented and in the categorical assessment in which we identified these behaviors, you might say, I have been bullied. I have been bullied. And maybe it was a past incident when you were younger, or maybe in a current situation that you're in, you can say that I am being bullied. I didn't know that I was being bullied. I didn't know I was being made to cower down or if you see the proclivity or the possibility that situations are arising with a certain individual where you may end up falling in that precarity of being bullied, you might say, I want to prevent it before it happens. Well, to those of you who have experienced this in the past, learn from your lesson. That's right. Chalk it up for experience and empower yourself to make sure that you don't experience this type of turbulent occurrence again in your life. And to those of you who are currently experiencing these incidents, we're going to give you some helpful tips, some helpful information that can help you to combat this behavior. And before we do, we're going to just simply ask that you sit and you take another skillful assessment and say to yourself, just ask yourself a question. Honesty is the only policy that works every time. Do I feel it necessary to take action? If you're being bullied, yes, it is necessary that you take action. Action speaks much louder than words. And in this case, where you're being threatened or you're being intimidated by someone who may be of an equilateral status or someone who may be of a more upper echelon status, and you may work for the establishment or come into affiliation with the establishment, you need to take a course of action now. And let me just break down the categories to those who are being perhaps bullied in the workplace environment. Well, that's one of the most common formulations of bullying. It happens in the workplace. Why? Because you have supervisors or managerial staff or administrative staff who assume the responsibility of the employee, which means that they sometimes have to flex the strong arm. Sometimes they have to be a little more than assertive to make sure that things are being carried out correctly. And even so, sometimes managerial supervisory staff or administrative staff have to ask others to give a little more and to do a little more. Now, if your supervisor, your manager, your administrator may ask that you pitch in to assist in certain areas a little more, that is not them abusing the power. That's right. That's them assuming responsibility for the operatives at that establishment to make sure that the highest level of accountability is definitely apparent and evident. That is not bullying. Bullying as it relates to the supervisory staff or the managerial staff or the administration staff means that the individual or individuals speak to you in a way that is harsh, intimidating, or threatening. They project a certain image, whereas they are targeting you outside of the spectrum as opposed to making you inclusive within a group. They choose to singularly so seek you out and call your name and try to make an example out of you as a way of putting you on the spot, or else they have a tendency to always come to you with a level of complaint and displeasure that you feel as though you literally have no way out. Now, this is indeed considered as administrative or supervisory or managerial bullying, bullying at the workplace. This is the most commonized form of bullying at the workplace through managerial staff. Now, the secondary level of bullying in the workplace environment can come from a disgruntled coworker who may feel intimidated or threatened by you because of your ability, your performance, your stamina, you know, the veracity of your character, and how others may assume and feel about you. And they may feel as though you're taking the limelight of proclivity and possibilities away from them. So we're going to talk about effective ways to deal with managerial, supervisory, or administrative style bullying. And we're going to talk about dealing with disgruntled coworkers who choose or attempt to bully or humiliate you. First of all, when you're dealing with administrative, managerial staff, or supervisory staff, you have to understand they hold the record of being in charge. Whether or not they have the possessive skills and the integrity and the precision capacity to be in that position, apparently they had enough credentials or credibility in someone else's eyes to have ascertained that position. So you have to still respect them. respect them. That means that you don't have to bend down on all fours and just lick the ground as they come forward or as they depart, but you have to respect their position because they are in a posture that can definitely impact your character as an employee there. So first of all, you do, and even as a victim, have to give respect. Secondly, of these incidents, when it comes to dealing with supervisors, administrators, managerial staff, you need to start documenting occurrences in writing. What does that mean? Because documentation is a proven track record that you have taken the time out, that you felt that these incidents were so pertinent that you documented specific day, date, and time of incident and what the person in charge said to you. And at the same time, too, as you're stating the occurrence and the incident, be sure to put in definitive closure the I message, how their presentation, how their confrontation of you made you feel. Always make sure you're inclusive of the I message. So that's a definite number two bullet, okay? Respecting them so they're in charge, not trying to get back with them and speak loudly and confront them in front of the group because you know what? Because of their position and where you are, you're going to look like the bad guy. So you have to maintain your self-control, give them their respect. Number two, document the incident, day, date, time, and location, and document in critique form what was said to you. And be inclusive of the I message and how it made you feel as an employee. Number three, definitely number three, before you even consider going to the manager or the supervisor or the administrative staff person that's in charge, you may definitely want to be mindful of the fact that what you say and don't say can and will be used against you in that particular location. So what you need to do is to make a first-level attempt to speak with that individual in charge. That's right. So say, for instance, for example, if it was a supervisor of your ship that they constantly keep doing things that are replicant of bullying you as a worker, demanding that you, you know, don't take a lunch break, that you continue on and make production, that you know you cut your bathroom break short, you got to do it because I said so, you have no recourse, be careful again of documenting that, but then you want to call a general meeting. Why should you call a general meeting? Why shouldn't you just hop over and contact the union independently so of yourself? Because you know something? If you contact the person that's at your union and you have not followed the protocol in which I'm giving you for the workplace location, the union person, the union president or administrator of your union is going to say, did you follow protocol? Well, what is it that happened? Did you document? They're going to ask you for specific documentation. They're going to ask you who was present when these statements were made. Do you have any verifying witnesses? Because after a mouth of two or three witnesses, every word has to be established. So they're going to ask you to follow protocol. Then another very pertinent question that the person from the union is going to ask you, did you ask to meet with your supervisor to discuss the details or the difficulties? And if you haven't followed that step, they're going to make recommendations that you contact that supervisor at your location, or else they may contact the supervisor or your union representative. And you know what's going to happen? You're going to add fuel to the flames. They're going to try to bully you the more. Because why? You defied their position. You defied their level of authority and disrespected them and went over them and went to the union. And you're going to cause the case to be tightened against you. So you want to follow protocol. That's why I'm giving you step-by-step specific information. So what you want to do is you would like to request a meeting with the supervisor you're having a problem with, with the whether it's a manager, an administrator that you're having a problem with, and ask that could you, by their permission, have time to discuss some issues that you feel are very important to you as a worker there. And before you go into the details of how you're feeling, ask permission to meet with them. And 75% of the cases, that person is going to say, yes, we can meet. And they will give you a day, date, time, and location. Be sure that you go to that specific location at that specific time of that specific day. Don't turn around and say, oh, I'm going to cancel, or that's okay, that's okay. When you say that's okay, you're saying it's all right that you disrespect me as a worker. It's fine that you mistreat me as being an administrator. I'm okay with you being a supervisor and stepping on me. No, you want to let them know that I know my rights, I know my roles, and I know my responsibility. And I'm not pleased with the mannerism in which I, as a coworker, as a worker at the establishment, am being treated. As an employee, I have civil rights. That's right. Those civil rights are posted right in the entranceway of your establishment, and they have to be posted in the staff lounge. This is the law. That's right. It is the law of the land that must be regarded, not some of the time, but at all times. So make sure that you do. And when you go into that meeting, two things I want you to do. Have all of your documentation present with you at that time where you can relevate back to day, date, and occurrence and how, again, the I message is so very important. Make sure that you do, okay? And when you go into that meeting, go with your hand held high. Go with your backbone straightened up. Don't go in fearful and wondering how they're going to respond. No, you are being victimized here. You want this victimization to be stopped. You want it to be halted, and you are giving that presentation of letting them know, I'm here for business. We've got to resolve this issue here and now because I'm not going to take it anymore. So when you go into that particular meeting with your supervisor, your manager, or your administrator, be precise. Take your footnotes if you have to make footnotes about certain instances in which you are not pleased with. And when you speak in a firm and affirmative tone. Don't resort to yelling and screaming or allowing your emotions to take you over. Be careful that your chakras are balanced so that when you're speaking to them, you are clear, precise, and to the point. And in most cases, the level one meeting with your managerial, supervisory, or administrative staff will go well because you know what? You'll be sending a message to them, don't pick on me. And 39% of the cases, a lot of managerial, supervisory, or administrative staff don't realize that they're actually projecting a bullying-type behavior with their workers unless someone brings it to their attention. So maybe something that is as meager as them not knowing, caught up in the flare of emotions and so many unnecessary, unrealistic demands being placed upon them, they may singularly so identify you because you possess a strong character. You possess a great capacity to get the job done. And this may be the reason why they're calling you out and give them a chance to explain themselves. And in most cases, this type of incident can be resolved with just that one meeting. And make sure that when you close out the meeting with a firm handshake, that lets them know, we have sealed a covenant. We have made an agreement to mutually respect each other. That's right, without any strings attached, okay? But what if the meeting doesn't go as planned? I'm going to give you another working strategy. And that supervisor refuses to hear me, that manager refuses to adhere to my frustration, or that administrator just simply tunes me out and talks over me. You leave that meeting feeling that you've been treaded upon, defeated, depleted, and cheated out of your integrity. Should you go home and just put your head under the pillow and cry about it or go off and talk to other coworkers? No. What you need to do now, and you have the right and responsibility, make sure that you document day, date, and time of the meeting and that it didn't go well, no resolve was worked out, and that you're still feeling alienated, frustrated, and denigrated. And what you're going to do is now you have all the weaponry in your hand at your disposal. You have all the arsenal you need to combat the bullying aspect of a cruel-hearted supervisor, manager, or administrator. You will then contact your building union representative and explain to them, because you don't want to bring them into the meeting that you're having with your administrator, your manager, or your supervisor, because they may feel as though on that end that you and that union representative are teaming up on them, and you don't want to give that type of foretaste or that type of image reflection. But now, since that manager, that supervisor, that administrator will not hear you out, what you're going to do is you're going to now contact your union representative within your workplace, and you're going to present your documentation of all of your experiences that you have accrued there, as well as the result of your first meeting with that person that's in the lead chain of command. And in return, you then have the right to contact your union president on the next level. In many cases, once you contact your union representative in the building, your union representative, in case you didn't know it or not, has the ability, the capacity now, and the overall empowerment to contact the union president and to inform them of the displeasure as a way of clarifying his or her position within the workplace. And then that union president will reach back out to you and that union representative in-house in your work establishment. And it will be now the very fairness of the balance of the integrity system on tap, on task, and on its mission. Because then the union president will contact your supervisor, your manager, your administrator, and let them know that there's an issue that we need to resolve and that this person has followed the chain of command. They've documented incidents. They attempted to make a peaceful resolve with you. That resolve was not received. And now the next level is to refer as a way of processing a grievance. This is what we call progression of a grievance, where we take it to the next level. And so the administrator, the supervisor, the manager is not going to turn down that union person. Why? Because that union person holds the very dexterity of their character as being the leading person in that establishment in hand. That's right. So they're going to make sure they want to sublime to whatever the request is. And trust me to tell you, when that union president requests that meeting, and you make sure that your union representative from your local establishment in your workplace is there. Because 5 out of 10 says that your administrator, your supervisor, or your manager is going to have the co-manager there or someone in a capacity that can validate their persona, that can validate their character right there. So with all the balancing of the harmonies, when you send this message out that you know protocol, you know professionalism, I can guarantee you that you're being bullied by your administrator, you're being bullied by your supervisor or your managerial person, it will cease because they what? No, they can't push you around without consequences. Number two, you're not going to cower down to their leadership bullying. Number three, you mean business. Number four, take you seriously. Number five, respect you as you respect them. And that is the way you deal with managerial, supervisory, or administrative level bullying in the workplace. Now, as it relates to coworkers, when a coworker bullies another coworker, say, for instance, in the staff lounge, constantly making precocious statements about that person's presence or that person's appearance or something that the person has done to diminish them and make them feel threatened as a credible individual, the first thing that you need to do, again, maintain a calm demeanor. Because one thing that a bully looks for is a reaction. That's right. And co-worker bullies look for reactions. They want admiration. They want people to look at them with respect, and they want people to focus on them. And what you have to do, number one, don't feed into the madness. Don't respond to their threats about getting you in trouble. about getting you written up, because many of these individuals feel threatened by your presence. They feel threatened that you're there. They feel that you have the upper hand or the overall leverage and a capacity that they don't have. So the only way that they're going to build up the morale of their character is to walk you down, to talk you down amid the company of others. And something about the staff room or the staff lounge is the favorite place for bullying amongst coworkers. Isn't that interesting? During the lunch break period or the mere breaking period throughout the day, this is a favorite arena-type setting for coworker-stylized bullies or bullies within the workplace. You maintain your character, maintain your calmness. Number two, don't cower down. Don't lose control of who it is that you are. You know who it is that you are. Apparently, they don't even understand the complexity of their behavior or their overall existence. So you want to make sure you keep those things in hand. Number three, document the things that this coworker said to you. If they brushed against you, if they pushed against you or got too close to you or made threatening statements, document, document, document. A paper trail is an effective way to validate things that are not relevant to good, moral, and decent behavior. So make sure that you document these occurrences. Document also any words or some jargon that they may have stated concerning you. Maybe even threats, whatever they said and done, put it in writing. Number three, don't attempt to go to that bully, stylized coworker and work out anything with them, because, again, they're out to embarrass you, impair you, dehumanize, and demoralize you. And if you try to be reasonable with them, that's the more unreasonable they become. You cannot reason with coworkers who are bullying you. Forget it. What you need to do is, after you've documented everything in tandem, go to your supervisor, if you don't have a supervisor or a manager, go to the administration of the establishment and inform them of these incidents and let them know how, again, using the power of the I message, let them know how this incident or these set of incidents made you feel at the work. It has affected your productivity because, oh, you really want to get under a supervisor's skin. Mess with their workers and affect their level of productivity, affect the way that they reflect the image of the company. Those individuals who are in the leadership capacity, know the image of everything, they will go ballistic on that person that has been antagonizing you or intimidating you. Let them know how it has affected your flow within the contingency of the establishment and how this continues on because of the stress and the things that have been taking place, that you may have to file a grievance and go to the union. And most cases, administrators, supervisors, and managers do not want you going to the union because, again, the union has the ability to inflate or deflate the image of the person that's in charge as well as the establishment itself. So you want to let your supervisor, your manager, or your administrator know what's going on. In most cases, they're going to call a meeting with you and that individual, and they're going to sit down with you. Don't call in the union representative at your workplace yet. Just simply let it saturate. And from the administrative standpoint, the supervisory standpoint, and the managerial standpoint, they will definitely make their voice heard to this coworker. And definitely, you know for a fact, to reserve their position and preserve their job image, they're going to put a stomper on it. They're going to slap a damper on that behavior and demand that this person, first of all, give you an apology. Number two, they're going to write up a reprimand because you know they have to use a disciplinary course of action. That's why administrators, supervisors, and managers have the capacity and the overall empowerment to utilize disciplinary action against disgruntled employees who go around bullying other employees or a specific employee. So they're going to definitely discipline that individual. And behind that discipline, that person is going to know not to mess with you and anyone up there ever again. So you're sending out a strong message. So use that manager, that administrator, that supervisor in their position to combat co-worker bullying. That's right. They have the power to do so because that co-worker will understand, too, that this is really that serious, that you involve the leadership of that establishment into the issue. And they know that they could be on their way out as well as have a defamatory image that's residual if they attempt to go and get another job. So don't play, don't make haste, go straight to your leadership individual, whether it's a manager, whether it's a supervisor, whether it's an administrator, and give them the facts about that coworker who seems to get a kick out of bullying you. So that's the workplace capacity of dealing with bullying behaviors, whether it's on the leadership level or whether it's on the mutable coworker level. Know that those tips were helpful for you. Secondary, we're going to talk about psychological bullying. Psychological bullying in a relationship is a cruelty factor because it breaks down. We gave you the instance about the man, Theo, and the young lady, Anya, who was being victimized by her husband in the supermarket, and others beheld his degrading demeanor as it related to his wife. Instead of her defending herself, she already has some questionability issues as it related to her self-image. And a lot of men and women primarily suffer, women more so than men, suffer from poor self-image because of things that were said about them early on. It may perhaps they were treated differently than their other siblings when they were growing up. Perhaps a situation in their life happened and they were humiliated for one fact or another and has left them scarred. So when a person is dealing with psychological bullying from another counterpart, the first thing that the victim needs to realize is, number one, admit it. Many, primarily women, let's say individuals, we won't appear sexist, many individuals feel that they don't deserve any better. A lot of women feel as though they don't deserve any better, and they feel as though they have to settle. Why? Because they may not be the most intellectually incarnated. They may not be the most outwardly attractive. They may not be the most desirable. They might not be the most gifted and talented. So they feel as though they have to settle. And if they use any degree of resistance, it could be countermeasured and go against it. So this is the reason why a lot of women tolerate being psychologically brutalized, bullied by their counterparts. So the first factor that we have to deal with is creating a working strategy of combating this behavior is, number one, realization. Victim, individual, male, female, you need to realize that, yes, you are being bullied. You are being taken advantage of. You have to be realistic about it. Many people that are being psychologically bullied play it down and just saying, oh, he's just having a bad day. He's just not feeling his best. That's the reason why he's treating like that. No. It is intolerant. It is incoherent for anyone to degrade, humiliate, and demoralize you and anyone else that they're in a considered love relationship with. You have to come to realization, number one, and admit it. That's right. Adjunctive admit it that you are being bullied by this person. That's the first thing. Number two, realize your self-worth. Look at yourself beyond what you see in the mirror. Look at yourself beyond the past mistakes that you've made. Look at yourself beyond what others have said about you, how others have even treated you. Know that you are the most beautiful you. You are the most handsome you that was ever created. And know that there's no one in the world else like you, and that you have a purpose within yourself. And your purpose doesn't have to fit anyone's mold of desirability. You have importance. Self-esteem is what we're gearing at. Self-esteem building to combat psychological bullying is an effective tool that makes that person empowered, enhanced, realigned, redesigned, and too legit to quit. Know that you are special in your own unique way and that you have something to offer someone who would definitely appreciate you. So self-esteem. Your self-esteem needs to be adhered to. Do things that help you to feel good about yourself. Whether it's going out and buying something you just simply don't need, but something that you want, do it. It builds self-esteem. Put on your best. Go out and integrate and socialize with others. Perhaps if you're a mother at home and you just, you know, experienced a childbirth, you may be going through postpartum depression, go out. Go out and company with other women who have just come through the birthing channel, who have just come through the postpartum experience, and sit down. The main key factor in building your self-esteem and combating the psychological bullying that you're experiencing is by socializing with others with like minds. That's right. And be able to communicate with them and let them know what your experience did with you and hear what their experience did with them. There's strength in numbers, and communicating brings about elevating. And when you communicate and you begin to socialize and you feel that you're being accepted, this gives your self-esteem a great bolster. Don't sit back in the corner in the dark and hide away from the circumstance and the situation and the fact that you're being psychologically bullied. Go out there. There's a whole world out there and where there's a lot of other women who have experienced the postpartum defamation as well. So communicate. Get out there. Socialize. You'll begin to feel different about yourself. Fourth thing that you need to do is self-realization. Start taking excessive inventory of you and your situation. Number one, ask yourself, if you're experiencing psychologically being bullied, am I happy with where I am? If you're not, you need to make some changes. Number two, am I happy with whom it is that I'm with? If you're not happy with your partner, with your mate, you need to make some major readjustments. I'm not trying to conform and tell you to break up your household and don't you go back and say that. But you need to make an assessment as to whether this person has posture and potential and means the best for you, or this person using you as a tool of manipulation and monopolization in order to get out their negative emotions and to have you be that celluloid sponge to absorb all their cruelty so that, you know, you can exfoliate at the wrong place in the wrong time and inadvertently so destroy yourself. You have to ask yourself and be real about it. Thirdly, you need to ask this question. How can I make my situation better? Does it require that I move on and move forward? Does it require that I go and do some self-improvement? You're not doing self-improvement, weight loss management to impress anybody. You're doing it for health reasons. You're not going out and about getting a new wardrobe as a way of getting yourself in the limelight of being the focus of everybody's attention. You're doing it to make yourself feel better. Everything that you do, when you've been psychologically bullied, you as the victim, you've got to focus on the you factor. What is going to make me feel better? And if going and changing your wardrobe is going to make you feel better, then do it. And changing your living conditions and relocating and perhaps leaving that bullying individual behind, so be it. You must ascertain that you are worth being happy and take the steps to get you there by socializing with others and being honest about where you are, who you are, and how you feel about yourself. The next factor is that you need to move forward. Stop being independent. If you want that extra item, earn your own keep and get it. If you like it, shopping is your thing, and many of us, we get our stress off by shopping, and shopping is your thing, save those pennies, get those dimes, get those dollars, and put them together. And then have your own shopping spree experience for yourself, no one else but yourself. Or going out and getting a part-time job or a job where you can work from home in the comfort of your own home and still take care of your household, your children. It's going to help both of you and give you the affordability factor of purchasing things outside of the norm. Will indeed do so. And you will feel better about yourself. And when that bullying individual who you always went to for extra money or for extra affordability factors sees you doing your own thing and not asking for anything, he is going to ask questions about how you're getting another income. Why don't you ask me for anything? You don't ever ask me for anything. You'll make them begin to ponder as well as wonder about what's going on with you. Staging your own independence. That's what I'm getting you to. Staging your own independence instead of interdependence. Interdependence on that husband or that male counterpart in your household. No, ladies, I'm telling you, get your own independence. Whereas you can gain the mobility and the momentum of doing things for yourself. If he constantly complains about having to take you here, there, and everywhere, learn how to carpool with other ladies who perhaps are in the same situation yourself and go about and afford them the financial capacity of, you know, contributing to the fuel that's in the engine of that vehicle that's getting you from point A to point B. Do that. And you sometimes have to do it, buck it and lock it. Put your children in the stroller and just walk. Just walk. And it's therapeutic. Walking is therapeutic. Not only to the heart, the cardiovascular system, it clears the cerebral operatives of the front and rear brain. It refreshes and reoxidizes the central nervous system. It causes balance and equilibrious harmony to go throughout the whole entire anatomy. And it's beneficial. It allows you the socialization at the same time getting a good and therapeutic workout. Well, this time has passed so fast, and we're giving you working strategies for each aspect of the bullying factor. We've dealt with workplace bullying and how to best remedy, whether it's coming from a leadership individual or a coworker. Now we're dealing with the psychological bullying as the aspect of building your self-esteem where you become invincible within yourself and not depending on anyone else to get you through the time of the day. We're going to come back tomorrow with this part three and continue on and giving you working strategies that you can utilize to combat bullying on all aspects and all levels of your life or maybe in the lives of someone that you know. Listen, knowledge is power. The more you learn, the further you go, the further you grow. This is your voice of advocacy, your voice of change, your voice of reasoning. The Esquire, Abby A. Phelps, known as the Motor City Maharani, saying we'll see you again on tomorrow. Same time, same place. Oh, yeah.